Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease. A couple of weeks ago, we discussed the call of God when we did an overview of Terry Holt's book, Following the Call. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about the call of God with a special guest, Brother Douglas Walker. Stay tuned.
Is one of the most complex subjects that we could ever desire to delve into. More questions are asked about it, and more conversation evolves around it. However, it ever seems elusive to us of how to grasp what is a call of God? How does a call of God function in one's life? I have to understand first in a call of God in my life that before it is ever a call to go, it is a call to come out from something. And I have to establish an identity through God in the way that God wants me to view myself and my relationship with Him. I think one of the most powerful leaders in the world is Moses. And he really embodies the grand schemes of a call of God in our life. And when you watch how he was called out, it's very important that I pattern my life after what God was doing in his as well. You have to back up a little bit in Moses' life to see what it was that was happening. The Egyptian construct historically is very strong and an overarching theme throughout the book of Exodus. Before Moses was ever called out of Egypt and called to be a leader, there was another calling that happened before that, and that was God bringing the history of Israel into Egypt first and foremost. Back up with me in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 33, when Joseph was giving private instructions to his family about what they should say when they were in front of Pharaoh. He says in the 33rd verse of Genesis 46, "It shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." You find that Joseph is giving them a little private instruction saying, listen, when you go before him, don't tell him you're shepherds, because it is an abomination to the Egyptian worldview, and their opinion is very low of shepherds. And if you do this, it is a degrading thing and it will lessen your profile. Now, when you read the next chapter, Genesis 47 and 3, Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They did exactly the opposite of what it was that Joseph had instructed them to do. And so we find this somewhat amazing that they refused to play along with the opinions of an outside system. They refused to mortgage their identity based on the opinions of others. So when you find the call of Moses later on, hundreds of years later in the book of Exodus, you find this same theme that kind of carries out, and a strong emphasis on a shepherd. The idea here is that when God calls him out in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." You have to understand the history and the context here is that you can't be a liberator until you're an abomination to the system. The systems of men want to categorize and control every God-called man or woman. And unless we are willing to say, I will not be governed by the identity of what the outside opinion is of the worldview, but I will govern my life based on what is pleasing to God. So I find it interesting that Moses is called out of Egypt after the rejection of his brethren. And what does he become? Well, if you look at this from a historical lens, Moses becomes an abomination to the Egyptian system. He leaves from becoming a prince, from becoming one of the royal family, having everything at his fingertips, to being called out into an abominable place. The palace life between Memphis, Thebes, Ramses was a slave system. And that system only respected what it could confine inside of it. The world only respects, and the system of the world only respects what drives in that lane, what stays confined in that area, in that space. But as God begins to call us out, if we're going to deliver people and lead people out of spiritual slavery, we have to be willing to be made an abomination, a laughing stock, or a pariah, in a sense, of a system that we want to come out of in order to lead others out of it. Now, most assuredly, as Moses ventured out of the Egyptian system, it was strong in his mind, and those thoughts were deeply ingrained in his spirit. What do they think of me right now? How do they view me? What is their context for me? What is their opinion of how I'm behaving and my journey with God? One of his great battles would have been overcoming the thought that he was to be a Joseph, act number two. The pressure must have been exceedingly great to work within the system in order to achieve God's plan through a fleshly means. As you're being called on by God, one of the things you must be called out of and called through is the historical context in which you compare yourself with everyone in history before or after you. So what I'm saying is that Moses had to at some point ask himself, God, have you caused me to be raised in this system so that I could do what Joseph did? Now I want you to imagine Joseph is one that was elevated to be a viceroy of all of Egypt. You know that Moses would have known that. And Moses would have just inquired within himself, saying, am I supposed to be a Joseph, act two? But one of the things he had to be called through is that God will never call you to be someone you're not. One of the things in a call of God in a man's life is you must grapple with the history of what you are and say, God, I am willing to be the man in time and in place that you want me to be. It would have been very easy for Moses to say, you know, I'm not that far away from being second in command. I'm not that far away from being what Joseph was. Perhaps God just wants me to embrace mediocrity, the status quo, and even the status quo of history, of what the movement has been. If I could just achieve to the level of what Joseph was. Somewhere he had to let God call him through the history of his own movement and say, I'm not here to be a Joseph, act two. I want you to consider the call of God on your own life, young man and young woman. And maybe you're a pastor already, and we grapple with that. And we ask ourselves, am I supposed to be an act two of anyone? Somewhere, Hebrews 11 indicates this to us, that Moses walked out and said, I am not going to just sit here in the palace. I'm one of them. And so the call of God came on his life to become Moses as he was supposed to be. The systems of men are never intended to develop men. God left that to himself. God doesn't want Egypt to develop you. He doesn't want secular thinking to develop you. He doesn't want the worldview that is non-Christian to develop you. God wants you to come out of that system so that he can redefine you. He can identify you through the heavenly vision of what God expects you to be. You must be called through the history of what others have been, but you must also be called through our own identity crises. All systems are afraid of what they cannot control. The world system is afraid of every apostolic Pentecostal believer that says, God will define me, and the word of God will shape me, and I will lead my generation and serve them to the best of my ability. Now, Moses knew that being a shepherd was an abomination to the Egyptians, but here's the truth. You cannot be an effective liberator until you let God make you an abomination in the eyes of the oppressor. There was a point, you know, where the Egyptian monarch, and he would have sat there and said in his heart, laughing, Moses thinks he's a deliverer. Moses has given all this up. Moses has left this to be what? What is he really? What is he really wasting his life? And the truth of the answer of that is, Moses at that point in time was a shepherd, which was an abomination in the eyes of the oppressor. But as long as you become one with the world system of oppression, we will never be an effective deliverer. In order for me to lead people out of a system, I must become an abomination to that system. I must become something that is outside of that system. That is the power of the incarnation of Jesus. He was among us. He was of us, but he was not from us. He was bringing the laws from another system. He was in much, every way, he was an abomination to that system. He did not fit into the confines and constructs of their political ways. God has got to help us go past the identity crisis. Once you let an oppressor define you, you will never be able to change his thinking about who you are. That's the thing about Moses. When Moses came back in, he was just a renegade. He was just an abomination. The oppressor never changed his viewpoint of who Moses was, but God had a place for Moses. If you find in the scriptures where he was, yes, to the world, he's on the backside of a desert. To the Pharaohs, he is an abomination because he's a shepherd, but he is on the mountain of God with God. Systems try to categorize everyone and everything, but God is using you to come out from among the carnal, come out from among and divorce yourself from mediocrity, the mundane, the status quo. And there are those that will look at you and say, You're an odd guy. You're an odd woman in order to do this. Yes, there is a peculiarity about us, but it is not just an odd way. It is a called way. One of the things in a call of God is we must be willing to be defined by God using what God has seen in us. I don't know what God used in Joseph. I don't know how God unpacked it and parsed it and teased it out in Joseph. But I do know, according to Exodus 3, he asked Moses this question, what is in your hand? This staff, I lean on it. I'm supported by it. He says, throw it down. Little did Moses know that God had never done this with Joseph. Had Moses just been trying to be act two of someone else, he would have never had God develop this liberating force and power that he was. Throw down your rod. He throws down his rod, not knowing at that time that that rod that was just a stick that he had leaned on so much, he had been supported by, that what he had been supported by would in turn be used to deliver millions of people. It went from being the rod of Moses to the rod of God. So somewhere you find that it begins in this story that it was a shepherd and it was a rod of Moses. But later on in the text, you find that that is called the rod of God. And what happens is God wants to use your particular story, the uniqueness of your own life, the individuality of your own walk with God and journey, to call you out of the systems of this world into a paradigm of faith and deliverance and liberation. And to do that, we must come past the history of those that are around us. We cannot be the act two of anyone else. We must be ourselves. We must grapple with this identity crisis that if I am a shepherd, if I am a preacher, a prophet, a minister, a Bible teacher, whatever it is that you're pursuing in your walk with God, do not think that that world system is going to give you a human confirmation. More than seeking human confirmation in the call of God, I must pursue divine affirmation. Because if I'm confirmed by every human on planet Earth and the systems of the world confirm me, but I never achieve a divine affirmation, that is where I am in danger. What once supported one solitary man will now set 2 or 3 million people at liberty. You ask, what is at stake? You ask, how important is your call? It is paramount in not only your life, but in the life of others around you. Let me end by saying this, that being one called by God means that the question is not, is it a heaven or hell issue for you alone? But if you are a true liberator and God is calling you out so that you can lead others out, there's a lot of things that I am allowed to do and that is fine and perfectly lawful for me to do. But if I waste my time and I waste my life with the inconsequential and waste my life with things that have no eternal bearing, what is not maybe a heaven or hell issue for me may be a heaven or hell issue for those that I should have been leading out of that system of spiritual slavery and bondage. So I'm asking you to consider your own journey with God and your own call with God and allow God to lead you out so that you can lead others out. Make a little mental note in comparison between your life and the life of Moses and how he worked. And let God draw you from the secularization of this world and how people are trying to live a secular life in Christianity. We want to be Christians. We want to be apostolic. We want to be Pentecostal. But we're not trying to do it in a way that fits within the paradigm of a system that will never approve of what we are as liberators called out to lead people out.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of All Things Apostolic. We look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.